conceived by Sam Robertson.
A couple days passed by and the weather got much, much colder. It's so cold. It's probably less than 50 degrees out. It doesn't even feel like spring anymore. Can you see Sam here? Okay, good. He's biking on over to the print shop right now to retrieve all the promotional yard signs he ordered a couple days ago. Sam looks so cold. There's the type of deep chill going on below the surface where it feels like cold energy radiates out somewhere far down within the earth. Like the earth's core isn't molten lava anymore, but rather a giant bucket filled with crushed ice from the hallway ice machine of a secret hotel. Side note, is there anything more special than finding one of those elusive ice dispensers in a hotel when you're a little kid and learning you have a bucket in your hotel room whose only purpose is to gather that ice? Anyways, if there's one thing that could make the sorrowful cold weather better, it would be the hope of a different set of plants that arrived just for the winter. Plants that thrived in the tundra. They'd be snow plants. Like, where snow was their soil. It wouldn't matter if they were bulbous and robust with fat, chunky leaves like those of a
sucky- Hey, nice bike, loser!
Excuse you, I was narrating.
Excuse me, what did you say?
You heard me. Now, where'd you get that cute little bike? Was it a prize you sent in for from a sugar cereal box?
What? Wait, what are you talking about?
Gotta say, though, nice skid mark. It's probably a 10-footer.
Whoa, hey, slow down a second. Did I miss something?
No. You just kind of look like a little sissy on that bike. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, whoever you are, my truck just got stolen. This is all I got right now.
My truck just got stolen. That sounds like a you problem.
Why are you being so mean? Wait. Why do you look so familiar? Hi, there's a book I'm selling, and I'm wondering if you got a minute.
No, I don't think so, mister.
Your eyes are so blue.
I know. Let me see the book. Okay, this is terrible. It might be the worst thing I've ever seen. I'd sooner buy a dead cat. Now get the hell out of here right now before I call the cops on you for soliciting.
All right. Sorry for bothering you. I'm leaving.
Yeah, go on. Get out of here, you fraud.
Oh, now I remember. I knocked on your door, didn't I?
Maybe you got some brains under that stupid helmet and all those wavy locks of hair, after all.
What's going on? Did I upset you or something?
You tell me. Here.
What's this?
Read it.
Is this your business card?
Yeah, read it.
Colton Holt Caldwell Boone, Bible Salesman. New American Translation Bible. Psalms 118:16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Bible says. Oh.
You can keep that card.
Thanks. You want one of my cards too? Here.
No way. Keep that garbage piece of cardstock away from me.
Okay, sorry. So I guess we're both Bible salesmen. That's pretty cool, right?
Now you listen here. You better pack up your books, get out of town, or there's gonna be trouble. There's not room in this city for both of us.
Hey, Colton, we've got totally different markets. My Bible doesn't even have the New Testament, and most modern people can't even barely comprehend the King James Version that I have, I don't think. Yours is easier to read, probably, and it isn't even illustrated.
What's that supposed to mean?
What do you mean? It means we're not in competition. If anything, we could work together. Like, I could be like, if someone didn't want my Bible, I could say, hey, maybe this one's not for you, but my friend Colton here is selling the New American Translation.
I will never be your friend, and I will never, ever work with you. And if you're wise, you'll get out of town. Right now, Sam, you've been warned. I hope you find your truck. Not! I'm out of here!
Wow. Well, there's no way I'm leaving town. I'm not going to listen to that guy, no way. I don't think he will. Well, I don't think he has any idea what he's talking about.
And after standing there anxiously for many moments, a little spooked out by how blue Colton's eyes are, and just really confused in general, Sam remembers that he's out here in the cold for one thing and one thing only: to pick up the new yard signs he ordered. With his teeth chattering, Sam gets on his bike and gets on over to the print shop, still processing what just happened with that other, way more aggressive Bible salesman.
Just a second. Okay, hi. Thanks for your patience. What can I help you with today?
Hi. I ordered a bunch of yard signs, and I'm here to hopefully pick them up.
Okay, were you, Sam with the, www.americasbible.com yard signs?
Yeah, that's me.
Fantastic. I've got them right here, actually. They're all ready for you.
Whoa, that's them? That's a super tall stack.
Yeah, yard signs are no joke. They take up a lot of room. Each one is about 4 millimeters thick, and you got 100 of them.
Wonder if I can even get all these home in one trip. I biked here.
Ooh, yeah, that might be tricky to bike them home.
Yeah, but maybe with my bungee cords, I'll be able to secure them all to my basket. Yeah, I think that would work.
That could work. And I was going to say, I'd love to take one off your hands. I'd for sure put it in my yard. It's a cool design. And I checked out the website. I hope you don't mind. And yeah, you're into something here, like something big.
Thanks so much. That means a lot. Yeah, totally take one if you want it. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. Are you going to paint the New Testament too?
I'm not sure yet. I wasn't planning to, but I'm open to it, I think, especially now that I have the website americasbible.com. I'm not locked into just the Old Testament.
If you want to hear my opinion, I hope you do paint the New Testament.
All right, we'll see. Thanks for the support.
Sure. And then I got another question for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was wondering, have you ever considered making pamphlets to distribute? We print those here, too. That might be a really good, affordable advertising option for you.
No, I haven't, actually. But that's a great idea.
Yeah, and there's a lot of freedom when you're designing pamphlets. I could even help you with it if you want it. I like the trifold option the best, personally. It's a really nice constraint where it's broken up into three sections that you unfold to learn more and more about whatever it is the pamphlet is about. The viewer is first met with one digestible 8.5 by 3 2/3 inch panel. And then they open that up to uncover another treasure. And then still another. And you could even call yours samphlets if you wanted.
Ah, wow, yeah. I guess you're right. I sure could. Samphlets. Maybe I'll do that.
Anyway, yeah. Pamphlets are fun, and I say they're extremely underutilized. They can be super artful. I mean, I don't have a ton of hobbies, but making pamphlets is one of them. And I've collected some pretty cool ones, and I have quite the pamphlet portfolio myself of ones that I've made, to be honest.
That sounds awesome. I want to see them sometime.
If you wanted to, just send me over some information and pictures you'd like included. I can try to throw something together the next time things slow down here.
Sure, I'll send a bunch of stuff your way once they get these yard signs back home. Wow, thank you.
Just put my name in the subject line. Here's my business card and our email address and stuff.
Okay, Shelley. That's a great name. My name is Sam. Sorry I forgot to introduce myself.
No problem, Sam. I knew your name from your order. But yeah, I thought maybe you could distribute the pamphlets at churches and synagogues, anywhere around town. Really, anywhere they use the Old Testament, seriously.
Cool. But like, who all reads the Old Testament, would you think?
So many people. Let's see, Protestants, Jews, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox people, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name it. You can drop pamphlets off at those places, and who knows? They just might want some copies of your book. Or maybe they'd want you to speak to their congregations. Who knows?
That's perfect, because I'm trying to sell 100,000 copies eventually, and I want to sell one to the Pope and get the Vatican to buy all the original paintings for $1 million.
Okay, sure. Good luck with all those great goals.
Thanks, yeah. I just don't know how to get in touch with the Pope, though. I was hoping he'd maybe catch wind of there maybe being a new illustrated Old Testament by this point and just reach out to me already, but that hasn't happened.
Well, have you tried just calling the Vatican? I guess my suggestion would be to call that place. It's in Rome, so it would have a different area code. And then just work your way up the command chain, getting transferred to people in higher and higher positions of authority until you reach the Pope. He's just a person, after all.
Yeah, I guess he is. You're right. Maybe that would work. Sometimes I psych myself out. I'll try that when I get home, though. Do you think the Vatican might want to host an art show for all the originals and then buy them for $1 million?
Probably. They're likely still one of the wealthiest institutions in the whole world. At least they were at one point before all of the lawsuits and everything. I think maybe they still were the richest when I was a kid back in the 80s, but I'm not positive. I grew up Catholic, and I think I remember hearing that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, their wealth and influence has been pretty much constantly growing since Catholicism became the official religion of the Roman Empire, back around the year 300 or something. But maybe they're not actually that rich anymore. In assets alone, though, with the Vatican and all that old priceless artwork, I know they could afford it easily.
Very cool.
Yeah. I just read an article on it recently. They own like 500,000 square miles of land. They own the Sistine Chapel and tons of crazy art and St. Peter's Basilica too. And they have so much gold. They got investments all over the world. Banking, steel, real estate, insurance, tons of stuff. But yeah, it also has had to pay out billions of dollars in child abuse settlements, so I don't know where that puts them financially, to be honest.
Well, from the sounds of it, they probably still have enough to buy all my art for a fair price. These paintings took me 7 years to make. I need to get reimbursed somehow.
Oh, yeah. They definitely do have enough money for that. I think phone calls to Rome would be a good place to start. And then if that doesn't work, I mean, you could try to work your way to the top in person. Find a priest that likes your book. Then get the priest to introduce you to a deacon. Then, if the deacon likes it, he'll connect you with the archbishop. Then to a bishop, and then to the Pope! And do the same thing for the Jewish direction. Just work your way up the rabbi chain of command.
Whoa, good thinking. Thanks for all these awesome ideas, Shelley.
Yeah, of course. It's fun to think about. I really hope you reach your goals. I know you can do it.
Thanks for your confidence, Shelley. It means a lot to me. Well, I should probably see if I can get all these yard signs strapped to my bike so I can get home and send you the info for the pamphlets and then try to call the Vatican.
Cool. You got all those signs okay? Need help carrying them out?
No, that's okay. They're lighter than they look, but thanks.
Well, thank you for coming here with your printing needs.
You bet. Thank you. Expect an email in the next couple hours.
Okie dokie. See ya.
Bye, Shelley.
Interestingly, somehow, Sam has no problem getting all those yard signs secured good enough to his bike basket with the bungee cords. Tanya set him up so perfect with the bike setup she managed to finagle, as if she was some sort of old-timey sorcerer from the Dark Ages. Sam was maybe a little jealous of all her worldly skills and knowledge, because he has very few useful abilities when you really think about it. He pretty much lives in a nonsense world, and any scraps of information he does have, they don't usually translate into anything tangible or worthwhile. But anyway, after Sam gets home, he real quick gets an email sent out to Shelley back at the print shop with more info and imagery than she could possibly need to make a jaw-dropping trifold pamphlet. Wow, Sam is really focused today with all his administrative tasks. Now, he's looking for a good number to call the Vatican. Bingo, he's got it. That was easy.
Hello?
Buon pomeriggio, hotel Luciana, l'albergo di lusso più rinomato di Roma. Sono Giulia, come posso esserle utile?
Oh, sorry, I only speak English. What language are you speaking?
Non capisco. capisco quello che dice. Sono Giulia dalla reception. Come posso what? Esserle utile?
I can't understand what you're saying. What language is this? Can you please transfer me over to someone that speaks English?
Aspetti, ha detto English. Ma qui siamo a Roma. Ha chiamato l'hotel Luciana a Roma. Qui parliamo italiano. Avrà sicuramente sbagliato numero.
Sorry, what did you say? I can't understand anything you're saying. I wish I knew more languages. I'm so bad with languages. I've never been good at them. They don't come naturally to me, and I don't have the patience to stick with them. What language is this?
Inglese. Provi a chiamare da qualche parte dove parlano inglese, eh? Magari le verrà
I'm sorry,
più facile
this isn't working.
Con loro.
I should have known. I'm so dumb.
Le auguro vivamente di trovare un altro inglese con cui parlare.
I'm sorry. Okay, bye. Oh, that didn't work out. Oh, what was I thinking? It's a different country. Different countries often have different languages. I'm going to figure out what language that was, and then I'm going to learn it. Dear Diary, I just tried calling the Vatican, and I realized I might have a big problem here. There's a language barrier. I wonder what language that even was. Maybe Roman? Wait, no. No, I'm so stupid. It's of course gotta be Italian. Duh. Yeah, I'll have to start learning Italian if I'm gonna sell Bibles in Rome one day soon. But for now, that approach simply won't work to just call them. I need to rethink this. What should I actually do now? I've got a bunch of ducks in a row finally. I've got a website, business cards, a fan mail PO box, an advertisement at the DMV, yard signs, and soon I'll have pamphlets. And I have that cool poster to show people customer satisfaction. But now it's on me to utilize all of these awesome marketing tools. Well, while I'm waiting for the pamphlets, I'd better go out and start distributing these yard signs. They won't do me any good just sitting next to me here in my basement. I'll start with one in my own lawn, symbolically, almost like a flag. Maybe get a couple in the woods so hikers can find them. Oh! I'm gonna start out back at the docks to plant my next yard sign. That would be symbolic, since that place was so crucial to me in my salesman journey. Thanks for helping me figure that out, Diary. Until next time.
Grabbing 10 yard signs to start with and then changing his mind and just taking all 100 with him? Well, 99 because the lady at the print shop wanted one. Sam emerges from his basement and gets outside, and then he has to just sit down there in the grass a minute and wait for his pupils to get less dilated after being in the dark basement so long before he can move around safely outdoors without getting hurt. Pupils are so crazy if you think about them. They are magical portals that adjust on their own to regulate how much light gets into your retina so you can actually perceive images in your brain of all the things in the world around you. And if you see something so beautiful, you cry. Sam sees some geese. Not beautiful enough to make him cry, but close. Now that his eyes are good enough again, adjusted to the light, Sam gets up. He walks over to his bike and bungees the yard signs to the milk crate zip-tied to his rack. And then he speeds off down the open road, really fast.
Hello?
Hey, Cody. This is Sam.
Oh, hey, Sam.
I just wanted to check in. That cool?
Yeah, it's really windy where you're at right now. Could you step inside or something?
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, I'm biking right now. I can't stop. I'm on an advertising mission. I just got a bunch of yard signs made here, and I'm gonna go put them up.
Yeah, I can't really hear you right now, Sam. Just call me back later.
All right, I'll call you back later then. Oh no, my phone!
Sam missed his pants pocket when he was trying to put his phone back in, but luckily the sturdy case on it saved it from getting completely destroyed. He bends over to grab the phone, and as long as he's here, he decides to stick a yard sign in the boulevard between the two one-way streets going the opposite directions. It looks cool there, like a baby billboard. It looks like it will grow up into a big billboard if it gets enough water and sunlight. Sam gets back on his bike and speeds off towards the docks.
Oh, man, it's you again.
Oh, hey, good to see you, bud.
Yeah, you too. You live here or something?
No, I just usually stop by for a couple casts on my way back from work at the foundry. How you been? Been catching some sails?
Some. You been catching some fish?
Just a couple of pumpkin seeds today. I just wanted to soak up the cooler weather, honestly. Gets hot in the foundry. How's things with you?
Oh, not too bad. Our conversation really helped me get a lot of things going with this Bible salesman stuff. I haven't sold a ton just yet, but I'm getting some good systems in place, I think, and feeling pretty hopeful, I'd say.
That's great.
Yeah, I got these yard signs made, and I wanted to put one here at the dock, since it's kind of where my salesman journey began to pick up speed.
Oh, yeah. Dude, check out that yard sign, too. That looks super professional. Yeah, you should stick it somewhere. Is that your website on there?
Yeah. I guess I didn't have a website when we last met. A lot has happened. Okay, I think I'll put it right over here. There we go.
That's great. You want a sparkling water? You want a sparkling water?
Sorry, my phone's ringing. Wait. It's the cop. Somebody stole my truck. I have to take this call.
No problem.
Hello?
Hi, Sam. Yeah, we found your truck.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but there's just this one thing.
What's that?
It's underwater.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's in the ravine out by Flanagan Street in Lincrest.
No! Actually, how do you know it's mine?
Well, yours is the only missing truck we know about right now. You should come out and identify it, though, to be sure.
Okay, you said Flanagan and Lincrest?
Yeah!
Okay, I'll be over in a little bit. I'm on bike.
Okay, bye.
Hey, is everything all right?
Well, no, they found my truck, but it's underwater.
Oh, no.
Yeah, at least I think it's mine. I have to go identify it. It was good to see you, dog. I wish I could talk more.
Yeah, you gotta go. I'll see you around. You got my number. Call me if you need anything.
Okay, thanks, dog. Okay, all right, I'll see ya.
Hey, found it.
Not really in a pounding mood, but...
No. We absolutely shouldn't pound it if you're not in a pounding mood. Last thing I want to do is pressure you into doing something that doesn't feel right. Moving forward with our friendship, I hope you feel comfortable advocating your needs. As for myself, I'll make sure to do a better job at reading physical cues and not just jumping and asking to pound it all willy-nilly. I'm definitely willing to check back in on all of this when you're not in the middle of a super stressful situation.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. Thanks, Doug.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks, Doug. I'll see you later.
Biking super fast, faster than Sam has ever biked in his whole life, he zips all the way to Flanagan and Lincrest, dodging cars, running traffic lights, not even stopping to plant any yard signs at all. Sam even karate kicked a car that almost merged right into him when changing lanes. Sam left a big dent in the car and felt like a total ninja. But he was lucky he didn't crash his bike or give the driver road rage and then get into a high-speed chase with her. Sam's truck means the world to him. It's not really been mentioned at all, hardly, but his truck is also his work truck. He's a tradesman, and all his tools are in it. And he's tried not to sweat it, but he hasn't been able to work a single day without the truck. So the pressure to sell his Old Testament has drastically increased. He can't just simply buy a new truck and new tools. That would probably be at least $10,000. And he has no insurance because he's too broke for it. Sam's legs are now burning from something called lactic acid buildup. That happens to everyone during strenuous cardio. But after 20 minutes of super intense and crazy exertion, he arrives safely at the ravine, and he nearly collapses when he gets off his bike because his legs are so wobbly after how tired he got from biking that fast.
Good! We made it! We're just pulling out of the water now. Our scuba unit hooked up some cables to the truck, and now the tow truck over there and that helicopter up there is about to work together to pull it out.
Are there any dead bodies in the truck?
The scuba squad men did not see any dead bodies in the truck when he was down there.
Well, that's good that there's no dead bodies, I guess. Okay, I'm watching. I can see it. That's my truck. That's my truck for sure.
All right. We can talk better after the helicopter sets it down and flies away.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay. stop the man we got.
Can we go check it out now?
Yeah, it's safe. Let's go.
That's the one. That's my truck. I'd recognize it anywhere.
That's the wettest truck I've ever seen. It looks like it's totally full of water.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Hey, close the door, close the door, close the door, close the door! You're getting my shoes all wet!
These were $300, and now they're ruined.
Officer, the truck was all full of water. You even just said that. What'd you think was gonna happen when you opened the door?
Hey, you better watch your mouth.
Sorry, well, what's the plan here? How do you start investigating a crime scene like this?
Well, I planned on starting to look for evidence, but now I'm not so sure. I'm not sure that someone with your attitude deserves my help, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be doing anything for you, actually, now that I think about it.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Fine. If I have to do it myself, I guess I will. Okay, well, first thing, there's still a brick on the gas pedal. That seems like evidence to me.
Well, that explains why there's no dead bodies in there. No one was in there when it went off the cliff. The brick did all the driving.
Yeah, okay, so that's good to know the reason for why there's no dead bodies. Also, what are all these egg cartons doing here? I definitely never had any eggs in this truck when it went missing.
I wonder if they're raw, or if maybe they're hard-boiled. Why don't you crack one and see what happens?
Okay. Good idea. These eggs are definitely hard-boiled.
Okay, let me throw a couple at the ground to see if they're all hard-boiled, or just some of them.
I'm gonna help.
Yeah, it's probably safe to say these are all hard-boiled. I'm just gonna check another one or two to be totally sure.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. It is safe to assume they're all hard-boiled. It's so crazy. And I don't remember leaving anything in that passenger seat. Let's open up this soggy box sitting there. Or what's left of it, I should say.
Looks like it's just about bursting open already. Everything's so darn soggy.
Yeah. Wait a second. These are all Bibles. There's maybe a dozen of them, but they're not mine. These are New American Translation versions, it looks like. What is going on? What's this?
What's what?
I know this guy. He gave me the same business card. Oh my. Check this out, Officer Brink. I have another one of his cards here in my wallet. Just a second. Okay, here, check it out.
Yeah, would you look at this? Well, if you have one here, what's to say you didn't have one in your truck, too? You know what I think?
What do you think?
You know what I think? I think you did this all by yourself to try and get insurance money. It's the perfect setup. And you'd probably rejoice when a God-fearing Bible salesman was locked up. You'd probably smile so smug. I'm sure you don't believe in God. You seem totally evil.
Wait, what are you talking about? I don't not believe in God. And I didn't meet that Bible salesman guy until after my truck went missing.
Your case has more holes in it than a sheet of paper trapped in a three-hole punch factory next to a shooting range in an industrial part of town. You're going to need way more proof than this, buddy. Way more proof than a dozen Bibles, a business card, some little eggies, and the most common-looking brick I've ever seen in my whole life on a gas pedal.
What more do you need? The guy even has a motive. He hates me. He told me so. He sees me as competition. He even threatened me, said I had to get out of town or there'd be trouble.
None of that means anything. It's all hearsay.
Anyone can buy 12 Bibles and then put it in a truck, and there are likely hundreds or even thousands of that business card in existence. You expect me to just believe you?
No! But I expect you to maybe bring him in for questioning or something. It seems like a pretty good lead, huh? And like run some tests on this truck and bring it into your lab or something?
I don't like you one bit.
You don't need to like me! Just, there's a crime here, and it would be good if it could be solved. And you're the policeman!
So, now you're telling me what my job is and how to do it? Unreal. Even if I wanted to help you, which I don't, our hands are tied until we have more evidence. We need to find DNA evidence and bring him to the precinct so that we can see if his DNA even matches. I already told you that.
That sounds fine. Yeah. Let's look for DNA! Look, just ask that tow truck person to bring it back to your station before she leaves and have it looked over. Could you do that, please?
I could do that for you if you wanted, officer. It's no problem at all. My truck is right here ready to go. It seems like a good next step. Makes sense to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Could you please just do that, Officer Brink?
Fine. If it'll get you to just shut up for once.
I'll for sure shut up if you just do an actual investigation. And run some tests on those eggs, too. Run those eggs for fingerprints. The ones that are still in the cartons.
You just want some poor schmuck to take the fall so that you can get rich while your competition gets thrown behind bars. I've been in this business for 2 decades, and I've seen some pretty low things. But this... this takes the cake. You can tell this to our station, whatever your name is, ma'am.
My name's Cassandra. You got it, officer.
I'm out of here. And Sam?
Yeah?
You're going to be the one to go to jail, Sam. When we find your DNA in the truck!
It's my truck! Of course my DNA will be in there!
I'm just gonna finish hooking up your soggy truck here and tow it away, all right?
Yeah, sure. Thanks a million, and... oh, and hey.
Yeah?
Thanks for standing up for me back there.
Yeah, of course. Anyone would have. I believe your story, Sam. Even if the cops don't.
Thanks. Was it Cassandra or Cassandra?
Cassandra.
Well, that means a lot right now, Cassandra.
Well, good luck with everything. Okay. See you later.
See ya.
Alone now, Sam turns Colton's business card over and over in his shaky hands, looking at the words again. He hones in on the Bible passage Colton chose to use on it.
Where is that passage from? Psalms 118, verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Taking the bungee cords off the yard signs on his bike crate, Sam sets the yard signs down so he can better assess his briefcase that was nesting below them snug in the crate. He pulls out the briefcase and flops it on the dirt next to the yard signs. He then flips open the flaps. He grabs the Old Testament from within and turns to Psalms 118:16.
Incredible. No way. Dear diary, I figured it out. That's why it's so familiar. The passage on Colton's business card? It's familiar because I illustrated that same passage. It's the one with all the jazzy colors, where a door-to-door Bible salesman is showing off his book to someone at her doorstep under the radiating brown light of the porch lamp, and there's a guy in the house with shaving cream on his face holding a big pet rodent. This is too much. But wait a second. Maybe me and Colton can bond over the fact that those words touched us both so deeply. Maybe the tension between us can blow over like, I wish I was better at metaphors or similes or whatever.
One metaphor Sam might like would be that maybe the tension could blow over like how the smell of a dead carp on the riverbank blows over eventually after the flies and buzzards have picked away at all the smelly, rotten, fleshy parts long enough to where just the bones are left to bleach in the sun and they don't really smell much like anything anymore until when they just smell neutral, like the regular earth again that probably won't make you sick if you lick it.
Oh well. Even if I can't think of a good analogy, the sentiment is still there. I can befriend Colton, I'm almost sure of it. After he reimburses me for my truck he put into the ravine with all of my tools still inside of it, of course. Well, thanks, Diary. I appreciate you.
Sam closes his diary and puts it back safe in his backpack. And then he puts his old testament back into his briefcase and looks out at the flowing water.
Wow. I mean, magnifico.
A scary carp just jumped out of the water for no reason, and that finally broke the trance Sam was in. He had gotten stuck watching the swirling eddies of the water and was mesmerized by how some water actually flows upstream right next to the riverbank. Water should only flow downstream, much like the movement of time. Anyways, Sam's gotta get out of here. He pulls up the collar on his fancy 1970s herringbone suit jacket to shield against the blustery air that's nipping at his neck like tender smooches from a sack of crushed hotel ice. With the same intensity and passion that Sam had for collecting ice in a bucket as a kid once or twice at hotels, he plants a special yard sign in the tire tracks where his truck must have peeled out into the ravine when the brick got thrown onto the gas pedal. Maybe he'll get a book sale out of this just yet. The remaining 95 or 96 yard signs are not gonna do him any good strapped to his bike basket. So Sam mounts his bike so he can continue to strategically place those signs all around the city before the sun goes down and it's his bedtime when he has to brush up and change into his pajamas.
You just heard episode 4 of Birth of a Salesman named Sam Calls the Vatican. The voice of Colton Caldwell Boone was Josh Ingersoll. Officer Brink was played by Dustin Bronson. Chelsea Newhard was Cassandra, the tow truck driver. Jack Gribble played the part of Doug Knuckles. Colin Sins played Cody Maloney. The Italian woman on the phone was played by Sabrina Bottari. Shelley at the print shop was played by Sadiqa Shabazz. This episode was produced and narrated by Dan Dukic. He also did the sound design and music. And perhaps most importantly, the voice of Disco the helicopter pilot was also played by Sam Robertson. This song under the credits is Etoile by the Miami Dolphins. Tune in next week for episode 5, the finale of season 1. It's called Sam Distributes Pamphlets. Thanks for listening.